In less than two decades, large retail chains have become the most powerful corporations in America. In her best-selling book, Big Box Swindle, Stacy Mitchell illustrates how mega retailers have fueled many of our most pressing problems.
Problems that range from the shrinking middle class to rising pollution and diminished civic engagement, as she shows how a growing number of communities and independent businesses are effectively fighting back.
Mitchell will be in our region on Thursday night for a talk at 7 o'clock at the Gilderland Public Library. It's sponsored by the Capital District Local First. I spoke with Mitchell about the purpose of her visit. Stacy Mitchell of the New Rules Project, a program of the Institute for Self-Reliance, will be making a bunch of stops in our region on September 18th through the 20th. Stacy, thank you very much for spending time with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
When you go out on visits like this, what is the message you like to get across?
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about why locally owned independent businesses are important to our local economies and to our communities, and sort of make a case for people making choices to spend more of their dollars at local businesses and for local policymakers to think about ways that they can do more to support independent businesses in the community.
Give us a sense of in what ways that's an easy sell and what ways it's a challenging sell.
Well, I think the challenge is that most people don't think a whole lot about their shopping choices and whether the choice to go to a chain bookstore, for example, versus an independent bookstore, and what kind of difference that makes in the community. It's a dramatic difference. It's a dramatic difference economically, for example. If you spend a dollar at a locally owned business, a much larger share of that dollar stays in your local economy. It goes to support more jobs and more economic activity locally than if you spent that dollar at a national chain. Most people aren't familiar with those kinds of facts, so I usually find that a big part of the challenge is simply one of talking about the many ways that your choice makes a difference. And once people become more familiar with those impacts, it can often be pretty eye-opening, and they realize that it does indeed matter, and it's worth thinking twice about where you choose to buy goods and services.
So you really have, in some sense, two fights, because you have the consumer and then you have the communities themselves, correct?
Yes.
And I assume that the pro arguments are pretty much the same for both.
They certainly are. I think that this is, I think you're absolutely right that this is an issue that's really, there are two pieces to this. One is the choices that we make as individuals, but the other piece of this is the public policy choices that our elected officials at the city, regional, county, state level are making. What I found and what I documented in the book is that all across the country, communities are subsidizing and providing big tax breaks for large chain retailers, for, you know, the Walmarts and the Home Depots of the world, and that independent businesses are getting the short end of the stick, and that they're often being undermined in a variety of ways by public policies and being completely looked over in terms of economic development resources. So the case that I make is it's not only about the choices that we make when we're shopping, but it's also about the choices that our local governments are making. And what I'll be doing in my talks around the Capital Region area is talking about some of the ways that communities have changed those policies and what cities and counties and states can do to strengthen locally owned businesses and to set some appropriate limits on the kind of retail sprawl that we're seeing on the outskirts of our towns and cities.
The book is Big Box Swindle. The swindle is what?
The swindle is that we think that these companies have provided us a good deal. You know, over the last 20 years, we have seen just a dramatic rise in the proliferation of Walmart and Target and Home Depot, and these companies have grown just at an unprecedented rate. And we've seen the die-off of tens of thousands of independent businesses. And the common thinking is that that's been a good thing, that this is progress. And yeah, we may be nostalgic for our neighborhood pharmacy or our local bookstore, but in the end, these big boxes are good for the economy. They're generating jobs and tax revenue and lower prices. And the case that I make in the book is that that's not actually true, that we're paying a huge hidden cost in a variety of ways for these big box stores, and that the loss of our independent businesses is really undercutting the strength of our economy. It's undercutting our prosperity and our prospects for the future.
In looking at that argument, I'm interested in, obviously, when you say, okay, we have independent businesses and they are going to be severely impacted if this company, that company, move in. And what I'm interested in is the impact in a community where the businesses have already gone out of business because they couldn't stay in business because the economy was so rough.
Well, I think that there are a variety of policy tools that my organization makes available to people and to communities, and they include ways that you can strengthen existing independent businesses, but also ways that you can create new ones. We've had over 300 new independent bookstores open in the U.S. in the last few years. We've had hundreds of new independent pharmacies open, new independent hardware stores. The good news in all of this is that the big box trend started to slow a few years ago, and we've actually seen a little bit of a rebirth of independent businesses. And so what I document in the book is the communities that are seeing that rebirth and what it is that they're doing to bring new entrepreneurs into the marketplace and to grow those businesses to meet local needs. So I think that there are a lot of options for communities. The overriding message I think that is important is that we've been so focused on the idea that we're going to fix what's wrong with our economy by looking to outside firms. You know, cities go, well, we need jobs, we need tax revenue, let's think about some big corporation that could come in. And I think if you reverse that and actually think about, well, what are our local needs and how can we develop opportunities for local people to start businesses to meet those needs, that path to economic development is far more beneficial. You create businesses that are really rooted in the community. You create more jobs and more economic activity, you know, per dollar of spending, and you create a more vibrant and a more interesting place to live. And so what I'll be talking about in my talks are ways that communities have done this and the kind of results that they're seeing.
What do you make of, and we've seen this in the capital region, where big box stores, and particularly one large book chain, of moving out of the region, of coming in, taking over, and then leaving? What does it say when they can't make it?
Well, we have seen this across the country, and, you know, all of these big retailers engage in this. They, you know, expand into markets. They maybe hang around for a few years. Often the smaller businesses may disappear. And then they decide that they're not making enough money at that location, and they pull out. And this has happened in cities across the country. All of these big retailers have done it. Walmart, for example, has over 200 empty stores right now. And it can be a devastating thing because you may give up your independent businesses, and then you're sort of putting all your eggs in this one big box, as it were. And if that retailer decides to leave, you can be left high and dry. They're looking, you know, the problem here with relying so heavily on these multinational corporations is that all that really matters to them is the bottom line. And they're really driven primarily by the need to satisfy their stockholders. And so it may not even be that they're not making money in Albany. It may simply be that they think they can make more money somewhere else by deploying those resources elsewhere. And so they don't have any commitment. They don't have any roots in the community. And they really don't care about its long-term future. For them, it's a short-term profit issue. And that's one of the reasons I think that as a country we've been a bit foolish to overlook the value of independent businesses is that, you know, when you have a company that's owned by people who live in the community, it is firmly rooted there, and it's the decisions that business will make will reflect, you know, not only the need to, you know, make money and be profitable, but also what's important for the place that owner lives. You know, how is this going to impact the community? It's a different set of factors that goes into that decision making, and you don't see this kind of, you know, fair weather friends behavior, you know, on the part of independent businesses.
The other thing that you see among independent businesses is a great camaraderie, where they're all working together to help one another.
True, and that's, you know, I'm really excited by the work that the Capital District Local First Group is doing and the Capital Region Independent Business Alliance, these efforts to organize independent businesses in the Albany region so that they can cooperate and sort of come together to help one another and to, you know, make a case out there that you know, to encourage people to choose locally owned whenever possible. And that, you know, that kind of camaraderie is not only strengthens sort of community ties in the sense that you have businesses where owners know one another and where they know their customers and where they are dealing with their employees on a face-to-face basis. It's not some distant board of directors somewhere. That's kind of the fabric of a community. It's an important part of what makes our community strong and gives us a sense of connection, and that's really a very critical piece of that.
Stacy will be at the Gilderland Public Library at 7 o'clock, sponsored by the Capital District Local First. And again, September 18th at 7 o'clock at the Gilderland Public Library, 2228 Western Avenue, sponsored by the Capital District Local First. And you will also be in Kingston giving the keynote at the Cool Communities Conference, organized by Sustainable Hudson Valley. You can find out more information by going to www.newrules.org or bigboxswindle.com. Stacy Mitchell, I thank you very much for spending time with us, and best of luck with your trip to the region.
Thank you.